of the year message. So a couple of things came up on the news this week that I want to just kind of start with. It's kind of a big news that they passed the tax bill. What's going to happen and what's going to be the bottom line of your taxes, my taxes, and how that's all going to play out? Who knows? But at the end of when that was all done, House Speaker Paul Ryan had a little quote out there, and it got some responses. He said this: at the end of each year, no matter how short or long it may feel, there's always Christmas. Waiting for us is that sense of wonder the shepherds felt when the angels appeared in the night sky to herald the birth of the Savior. One person responded not so kindly to that message. Rosie O'Donnell lashed out in a tweet. She said to this to Paul Ryan, "Don't talk about Jesus after what you just did to our nation. You will go straight to not a so nice a place." That's not what she said. I put that in there. And then she went on to say, "You screwed up fake altar boy, Judas much?" And that was the lash out for Christmas and the end of the year that they did. The reason I bring that up is because Franklin Graham chimed in. And he says, "Rosie, you do not have the keys to hell, but I know the one who does." He went on and said this: "I wanted Rosie to know that she didn't have the keys to hell, that only Jesus Christ has those. The Bible says we're all sinners, and I'm quoting from him, and the price of sin is death, it's hell. But God loves us so much that he sent his son to take our sin on the cross, and he died and shed his blood for sin. And if we accept that by faith and believe on him and turn from our sin, then we will never have to fear hell. God will cleanse us and forgive us, and I wanted Rosie to know that." He went on and said, "God can change your heart when we put our faith in Christ. We are a new creature. God can clean up our lives and change us. As we look to the future and turn to the new year, our country is in trouble, and God is our only hope." How many would you agree with that last statement? God is our only hope. The gospel is truly the only thing that matters. And so as we end the year and as we begin a new year, I want to focus on the fact that the gospel is the only thing that matters. It's the only thing that is essential for each one of us and for the whole world, for every aspect of our lives. It is essential. So I'm going to read a passage of scripture and show you the importance of it from Paul's perspective, and then we'll open up with a word of prayer. Let me make sure this is working here. Oh, nope. Let me see. Could you go to that first slide there, Paul? There we go. All right, he says, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel." This is Paul's heart. This is the essence of why Paul went and did what he did. He says, "To preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ would not be made void. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." So before we look at that, let's open up with a word of prayer and ask God to open our hearts this morning to the truth that we find in this passage. Father, we do thank you again. I thank you for BJ, and I thank you for the folks up here that led us this morning in worship. I thank you for Emily just sharing her heart with us as she sings. And Lord, I just pray that that would continue, that you would share your heart with us, that you would open our hearts and minds to what you have for each one of us this morning. It may be different for me than it is for someone else. But Father, for all of us, you can speak the truth into our hearts from your word. And so have your way in our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Paul wrote that to the church at Corinth because they were drifting from the message of the cross. They were really drifting because their hearts were no longer focusing on the very thing that saved them. They were drifting because they were getting their mindset caught on other things of the world. And you can read both 1 and 2 Corinthians. And Paul just keeps pointing them back to the cross. And so they had drifted from where the pagan world that they were saved from, and they were standing right with Christ, and so they started to drift, and what I would say is the cross suddenly started to go into the background of their life, and it started to fade more and more. As they drifted further and further away, the cross became further and further distant, and it was no longer front and center. And so Paul was just calling them back. He was calling to the one thing that truly mattered, and that was the cross. Because he knew if you do not cling to the cross, and this is true for us, if we don't cling to the cross, if we don't cling to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ on a daily basis, it's easy to drift. It's easy to get caught up with things that don't matter and to let boundaries in our life that God would place there to all of a sudden they become fluid, and they don't have the same strength that they had as if Christ is right in front of us. So we tend to lose our moorings. And Paul was calling them back to the cross and back to the gospel, because in the grand scheme of everything, and I mean everything, the only thing that matters is the cross. It's the only thing that matters is the cross of Jesus Christ. And as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, even if you're here and you're curious about Christ and you're curious about the cross and you're wondering about who God is and all that, it's still the central thing. The cross of Jesus Christ is the central thing. And what I think what we tend to do is kind of think that, oh, the gospel, that's when I come to know Jesus as my Savior. That's that point in time when I confess my sins before a holy God and I accept the forgiveness that he offers through his son, Jesus Christ. And I look at the cross and say, oh yeah, Jesus died for my sins there. And so we kind of point back to the cross without realizing that the cross needs to be focused in our heart. Because the gospel, the message of Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is a life-changing, life-altering, continuous encounter with him. And it's an ongoing thing. It's never just a moment in time. Our relationship with Jesus Christ begins in a moment in time, but it ought to develop into something truly, truly incredible and wonderful and to be a blessing and an intensity in our life because it becomes all of our life. Yes, we recognize there's a moment in time, but we ought to live about the rest of our life, focusing all areas of our life on that. And we know that because this is why Paul talked about so many different aspects. If you go to Ephesians, he talked about relationships and all sorts of relationships and really the gospel impact on those relationships. He talked about our past and our future and what it means in our past that all of our sins are forgiven, but we have a hope and a future, and in heaven awaits for those who are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. He preached about the constant communion with God through Jesus Christ in prayer. He preached about gifts that are given to us through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. He talked about how to listen to the Holy Spirit and how to follow the Holy Spirit. Paul talked about integrity and how you live your lives in front of other people at work or at school or wherever you may be. Paul talked about all of those things. He talked about missions and the responsibilities that we have. And the reason I list all that is because that's the gospel. That's the gospel impact. It can't be some moment in time where I was saved. It has to affect everything that I do, every aspect of my life. It has to integrate itself into who I am in everything that I do. Everything that I say, everything that I think, it has to integrate itself and make an impact in our life. If we limit the power of the cross to some important point in time that I was saved, then we're shortchanging the gospel. We're not allowing the gospel to really grab a hold of our heart when we should be, as Christians, growing in our relationship with Jesus Christ and allowing every area of our life to be impacted by the truth that Jesus died for our sin. He was buried in a grave and God would not leave him there because death had no hold on him. And he raised to new life, and that through him we are raised to new life. So when Paul said he came to preach the gospel, what he's saying is that I came to offer you more than just eternal life. I came to change your life. I came to share the gospel with you that will make such a change and should make such a change in our life that we are no longer the same people. And so the cross of Christ offers a life that counts. It really does. A life that matters, a life that will make a difference both here and in eternity. So when he preached, he didn't preach some message, oh, here's three things to get you out of that slump. Because those three things to get you out of the slump may change your behavior, but will never change your life. And certainly won't change your eternal destiny. And so when Paul preached, he preached the gospel, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because Jesus changes lives. And that's where our heart and our lives always need to be focused. And it should be focused throughout the year, beginning today, going on in tomorrow, going on into Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, and then on into next week and next month, and just throughout. The cross of Jesus Christ and the truth of the gospel ought to impact our lives. Paul said a few verses later, he said this, we preach Christ crucified because sin's the issue. He preached Christ's death on the cross because sin is an issue in our life. He told the church in Rome, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone. And then he goes on and says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. We know God as we walk faith by faith, step by step in faith. And the righteousness of God is beginning to be revealed in us and through us as we live our lives in faith. He told the church in Galatia, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And what he's saying, the life I now live, boy, it's not mine. Man, I'm living my life for Jesus, and I'm living that life of faith, and because Jesus can change my life. And so I live it by faith. To Paul and to the church in Ephesus, he wrote, we are his workmanship. In other words, it's God's power through the gospel that makes a difference in my life. So Paul didn't try to make the gospel anything other than it was, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because that is the only thing that matters. It truly is the only thing that matters in our life. And so he said in our passage, I didn't come in cleverness of speech. I didn't want to make the cross of Jesus Christ void in any way. So he wasn't trying to trick somebody into following Christ. He wasn't trying to wow them with any sense of some great oration or some elaborate presentation or some production for people to go, wow, that is so cool, let me follow Jesus. And what they're really not following Jesus is but the production that points to Jesus. And they get so excited about those things without ever really knowing Jesus Christ. And so what Paul did is he kept the message of Jesus Christ so very, very simple. He didn't complicate it in any way. Jesus came to die for sinners, and we need to place our faith and trust in him in order to be saved. He didn't present some prayer formula that you would follow. He didn't do anything that would confuse the issue of who Jesus was. He simply said, Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He was buried because he was dead, but God didn't leave him there, and he raised him to new life. And if you put your faith and trust in him, then you can have new life too. You can have the life that Jesus Christ has by putting your faith and trust in him. And that was his message. And I think sometimes, and if you're like me, and I'm very guilty of this, is we overcomplicate things. I tend to back up a truck and just dump all the information. And it's kind of like someone saying, I got something in my teeth, and I give a dissertation on where toothpicks come from. And they have to wade through the fact that I just need to have a toothpick, and where are they in your house? But I want to, when somebody asks me about Jesus, I want to dump the whole, everything on him. Instead of keeping it simple, you're a sinner who needs the Savior. And Jesus died on the cross for your sins. See, I tend to dump it all out and try to have people wade through all that information until they come and stumble on the fact that by grace you are saved through faith, instead of just keeping it simply on the gospel. Paul said the gospel is this: if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then he went on a verse later and said, whoever is anyone and everyone who will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. It doesn't get any more simpler than that, does it? It's just the simple truth of the gospel that we need to share. But Paul not only made it simple, he didn't water it down. He didn't worry about offending sinners because sin is offensive to God, and God is the only hope for a sinner. And so he addressed the issue of sin every time he preached. If you read through his messages, it's always about the impact of sin in people's lives and how to avoid that and how to fight that temptations to fall into sin. And so when we share and focus our hearts and lives upon the cross of Jesus Christ, we need to look at our sin. We need to look at the sin in the world. We need to look at other people's sins, and we need to not avoid that topic. If we're avoiding the topic of sin, are we really truly sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ? If our lives aren't focused on cleansing our heart and repenting of the issues of sin, then are we really following in Jesus Christ and allowing the cross to address those issues? And I think sometimes we get our focus off. See, if we're not talking about Jesus dying on the cross, then I think we're missing out on why God came and why God sent his son to die for our sins. All of the issues that people face have to do with sin. Everything. All of our health issues can be traced back to the first sin, Adam, right? All of the world phenomena, the weather phenomena that's out there that is destructive can be traced back all the way to the Garden of Eden and how the earth now groans under the weight of sin. If you have issues in your family, if there's problems in a marriage, if you're raising a child that's really rebellious, it all goes back to the issue of sin. Everything. If you have relationships at work that are hard, if you have relationships in school that's difficult, if you have relationships in a family that are just butting heads all the time, I guarantee you every one of those go back to some issue of sin in our life or someone else's life. Destructive habits are because sin has grabbed a hold of a heart and we don't want to let it go. Everything goes back to sin. The problems of the world, the political problems, the international problems. They go back to sin. I was watching a documentary, and this became very, very evident, on Vietnam War by Ken Burns. And he was going through all the political intrigue of what happened before the United States was pulled into it and everything. And all the men who died and all the lives that were destroyed and all the waste that was there, it was because sinful men wanted what they wanted. And it was that simple. Instead of stepping back and not allowing pride to rule their and run their lives. And I thought, wow, all of that because men were not humble enough to say, hey, maybe we ought to do a different way. Everything goes back to sin. And Paul never shied away from talking about the problem of the heart. Because that is where sin is found. And if we don't address the issue of the heart, the problem of the heart, then we'll never get to the heart of the problem. In your life, in my life, and in the world, and everyone we see, is the issue of sin that needs to be addressed in our lives. And if the cross is so far behind us that we're no longer focusing on it, then how? How can we grow as Christians? How can we walk with Christ closer if the cross is so far behind us and we're not holding it to it and not clinging onto it and grabbing onto it with all of our might and allowing God to raise the issue of things in our life, the sin in our life that need to be addressed. So if we're not allowing the cross to be the focal point of our life where Jesus died for our sins to give us a new life, then somehow we're missing out on the life that God has called us to. So when Paul talked about the cross, he made it as simple as possible. He didn't shy away from the issue of sin. And then he said it was about having a vital relationship with the Father, the vital relationship with God, the Father. When anyone embraces for the first time the gospel and they believe with all of their heart that Jesus died on the cross for their sins and they confess with their mouth, yes, he is Lord and he is my Savior and he died for me. At that moment in time, according to the Gospel of John, God gives them the right to be called children of God. They enter into this vital relationship. Unfortunately, the gospel can be distracted. That vital relationship can be distracted from the things that we do. Even going to church, coming and enjoying BJ in the group this morning, I love that. But can that be a distraction? This wonderful worship experience, can it be a distraction from the gospel? It can be. Can you be involved in small groups? This is a good thing. Can it be a distraction? It can be. Can you serving God, can it be a distraction? Can your activities with other Christians distract you from the truth and the foundational truths that we hold to about the cross of Jesus Christ? Yes, it can. And if we allow them to distract us, if we allow those activities, which I think are essential, and we all ought to be doing them, but if they become so paramount that the cross of Christ is left behind us, then something's out of whack. Something's out of order. And those things that we need and we have to have to walk with Christ, if they get switched in their order, then they detract us and distract us from the gospel, the true gospel. And we can begin to look at our lives and say, yeah, but I'm doing this. I'm going to church. I'm involved here. I do this. I do that. I go with Christians. That's all I really do. And we look at our lives and we see ourselves all cleaned up. And we look at ourselves and we say, well, you know, I really don't have any really bad habits. And then we say this, but I know there are some things that need to change. And what we're really saying is I'm kind of comfortable with who I am. I know that I'm on the outside. I look pretty good. And I know there are some things that, well, I probably need to work on. I would ask you where the cross is in that person's life. Is it in front of them or is it behind them? I would suggest that it slipped behind them. Because if the cross is in front of them, said, no, man, I'm working so hard at following Jesus. And I blow it and I fall down and I sin and I get back up and I ask him for his forgiveness and he forgives me. And then I begin to walk with him one more time. Instead of saying, yeah, but you know, I have some things to work on. See, there's a difference between someone who cries out for forgiveness and someone who says, yeah, but I have some things. One seems really important, the other one not so much. But if we're in that vital relationship with God through Jesus Christ, then we don't want to be just cleaned up. We want to be holy. We don't want that veneer of our life just to look good. I want to radiate the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to know that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior today and every day. And if there isn't so many changes, and if we're just kind of moving along, then I have to ask myself a couple of questions. Is my life any different at the end of the year than it was at the beginning of the year? Do I love Jesus Christ more today than I did January 1st, 2017? Man, does my heart pound when I think of the wonder and awe of the cross more now than it did 6 months ago? Or has it become kind of passé and I'm comfortable and I'm just kind of going through? I think sometimes that we need to pull back the veneer of our lives and see if we're truly clinging to the cross of Jesus Christ, to see if we're truly leaning on him. Because I would ask you this, and I'll put it this way, and the question you have to answer for yourself, can you have an encounter with the true and living God and remain the same? Can you dig into his word and read the word of God and have open and honest prayer? That's how we communicate. He talks to us through his word and we communicate to him through prayer. If we're having that vital relationship with the God in heaven through his son, Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit, can we remain the same? Or will our lives change from January 1 to December 31st? I would say our lives could not and must not remain the same. If they don't change, then I think we need to pull back the veneer of our lives and say, what's going on? What's really happening in my life that my life doesn't look any different than it did 12 months ago? Is it because the cross of Jesus Christ is so far behind me that I'm no longer in a growing, vital, intimate relationship with God himself? It's a question I think we need to ask. I know it's a question that I have to ask myself. So is the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and the truth that means for me, does it mean something for me today? Or am I just looking back 20-some years ago on a point in time? Or am I looking at the cross of Jesus Christ and asking myself, how does it make a difference today in my life? See, when I look at the cross today, knowing what happened years ago, knowing that years ago, I, in my living room all by myself, crying out to God, would you forgive me? And would you change me? If I stay back here and I'm looking, and that's the only point I've referenced that I have for the cross, then my life will drift. But if I cling to the cross today, then I'm going to ask myself some questions when things go wrong, when temptations come my way. I say, oh, no, wait a minute. 27 years ago, I was crucified with Christ. That's no longer me who lives. No, it's Christ who lives in me. And I can cling to the cross at that moment in time and find strength and power to live the life that God wants me to live. When I say sin no longer is my master, and that I can follow in the footsteps of Jesus, yeah, it happened 27 years ago, but I'm clinging to the cross right now. This death was efficacious for me in this moment in time. Then there's victory over the things that come my way. When I declare that is because Jesus was raised to new life and my life is now hidden in Christ, as Paul said, and then I can live a new life, then there's nothing. There is nothing that Jesus cannot do in me and through me that he's called me to do. Nothing. Because the cross is powerful in our life when we appropriate it for today. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, when it is applied to my life day by day, moment by moment, it makes a difference. When we cling to the old rugged cross by keeping it in front of us and not behind us, that's when the power of the gospel is alive in us. That's when it's real. That's when it makes a difference in us. And that's my challenge, is to keep the cross of Jesus Christ in front of us all the way through next year. All the way through next year. And so let me close with this. Days before cell phones, and no, I wasn't always alive, but before cell phones were, well, I guess I was. Cell phones and satellite phones and all of that, they used to communicate by radio waves. And if you were doing a radio check, and to find out what the strength of your signal was going to whoever you were trying to talk to, they would say, can you give me a radio check? And they would respond with, I read you 5 by 5. And 5 being the top number. But 5 by 5 has to do with how well the signal's coming in and how clear it is. And so if he said, I read you 5 by 5, you would have at full strength and absolute clarity. So 5 by 5 would be full strength, and I hear you crystal clear. We cannot experience the power of the gospel outside of the Word of God. We just can't do it. It's how we know the thoughts of God. It's how we know what sin is. It's how we understand God's grace and mercy. It's how we hold tight to the truths that are so important for us. It's how I know that though the cross at some point in my time, in my life, just became brand new, it has all of its power and efficaciousness in my life today. That's how I know, because I'm in the Word of God and reading the Word of God. It's where I find the full width and breadth of the gospel. And in order to keep it in front of us, I have a challenge for you this year. In order to hear God 5 by 5 at full strength and in crystal absolute clarity, then I want you to take a challenge. And I have, this is actually easy. It's called 5 by 5. And you'll find some of these at the back. This is a one-year Bible reading plan. It is not the full Bible. This is only covering the New Testament. And it's called 5 by 5 simply because if you spend 5 minutes reading 2 chapters a day, you will read through the whole New Testament 2 times, the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, and John 3 times. If you just read 2 chapters a day, 2 chapters, I did it yesterday twice just to test myself. An average reading I got done in less than 5 minutes of 2 chapters. There are some 3 chapters in there because they're really, really short, but you can read them in less than 5 minutes. The other 5 minutes, I would just challenge you to reflect. What was God talking to me about in that passage? In fact, on the back of it has 5 ways to dig deeper, which I stole from Navigators because they did such a good job with that. My point is we all have 10 minutes. We all have 10 minutes that we can share the Word of God in and share our lives with God. In 10 minutes, I looked at what can you do in 10 minutes. Here are some things you can do. You can clean a bathroom in 10 minutes. That's pretty quick. Vacuum a room, clean out all the stuff in your car, match socks, wash the dishes, gather all the trash, schedule an appointment, water the plants, sweep the porch, pick up around the house, prepare for dinner. Not make dinner, just prepare for dinner. Clean out the microwave, make a to-do list, separate laundry, and pay a bill online. Which none of those sound really like a lot of fun. This will change your life. I'd rather give 10 minutes to God than 10 minutes separating laundry every day of the week. I may have to pay a bill online, but I'd rather give God 10 minutes of my time and be able to read through the New Testament 2 times all the way through. And it's mixed up in there. You don't read everything back to back. And the emphasis is on the gospel. So you'll read the gospels over and over and over again. Why? So that the cross of Jesus Christ is in front of us and not behind us. So that we can hear God 5 by 5. We can hear him speak full strength of his truth into our life. And then when it comes, when people say, well, I don't know what God's will is, I guarantee if you're walking with God, reading his word, you will know God's will. It will be absolutely clear because you won't have to guess. God will be directing your steps. God will be leading your life. If you want The one-year Bible plan, all the way through the Bible, you can sure have that. That's back there as well. But I would encourage all of you, if you don't have any plan, I know some of you may have a great plan, but if you don't have a plan, here's a plan. Get a check mark in a box and make your way through the New Testament a couple of times. And that way, the cross of Jesus Christ and the gospel of his death, burial, and resurrection, how that applies to our heart and how it applies daily into our lives will be at the forefront. And it will change our year. It will change your life. And it will make 2018 seem like the best days ever, because God will be at the center of your heart and the focal point of your life. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that you gave us something. You gave us your word. And in your word, Father, you gave us the ability to walk with you in a way that we can listen to you with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul. We can hear exactly what you want us to hear. And Father, I pray that the challenge for each one of us, no matter what's going on, where we're at, what's happening in our life, that we would take those 10 minutes. And for some of us, it may stretch into more, but we would take 10 minutes, Monday through Saturday, simply just to listen, to have our hearts in tune with you. And then just to think through, God, what did you talk to me about today? What did I learn in your word? How is it going to change my day? How is it impacting my life? Because, Father, that's the gospel. Not just some point in time when I met you and received your forgiveness, but the gospel is a changed life that looks forward to eternity. And that moment when the fullness of the change would happen, when I stand before Jesus face to face. But until then, Father, I pray for all of us and each one of us that you would grab a hold of our heart through your word, and that you would make this coming year an intimate, growing experience with you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.